Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. We're here to bring you sex. And other stuff, I guess. Hi, A-Love. How are you?
What's up, baby? How you been?
I'm all right. I had a little two-week IUD rigmarole. Yeah. And, I don't think I've ever been through the pain that I had gone through in the last two weeks. It was very severe. I've had an IUD inserted three different times. The first time I do not recall it being very painful, beside like some cramping, you get your period, or like, I think you already have your period. Mm-hmm. Or at least that back then, like you had to have your period to put it in, blah, 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 whatever. It just felt like a worse period. The second time I got it inserted, I had an abortion first, like all in the same like sitting, you know. Uh-huh. they took out the seedling and they put in the stopper, the plug, if you will. And that,
this is why we get such lovely fan mail.
We sure do. The post-abortion and IUD insertion for me was awful because I didn't know which part was which, right? Because I had never had an in-person abortion. I had never had an abortion period at that point. And I also had never had, or I had obviously only had my IUD inserted when I wasn't having an abortion. So I wasn't sure like which part was what, but I do remember a pretty like terrible aftermath, especially like hormonally. However, this time I got my abortion first, waited a few months. This was a medicine abortion for the record, so it makes sense. Waited like 2 months for my hormones to kind of chill out. And then I got the IUD inserted. Mm. The IUD insertion process was very painful. I don't remember it being that painful, right? Like, this is going to be a walk in the park. Because I had actually just gone with my sibling and held her hand while she was getting one. Mm. And she got the anesthesia. She got, like, the local. And she still was, like, screaming and almost broke my hand. Uh-huh. And I was like, damn, she doesn't have a high threshold. But I knew she did. So I was like, that's crazy. So I went to go get it. And while my reaction, I did not get a local anesthesia. And my reaction was not as strong, because I feel like she has more nerve endings inside of her vagina walls or something like that.
You've worn all yours out.
Fuck off. My reaction was similar though. Like, I still, like, the pain was pretty intense. I even had to like lay on the table for a minute or two to like collect myself before I went home. And then I bled for 2 fucking weeks. So at first I had a really bad period. It induced the period that basically like I should have had for the last 2 months, and because of the abortion stuff and taking Plan B and stuff, I've been all out of whack.
Yeah.
So I have this like full blown period. It's fucking awful. So much pain. But then after the period ends, the blood continues. Now, we're not talking period blood. We are talking, if you were to like slice your wrist, blood, like blood.
Wow.
Like blood, you know what I mean? Like, not the
super heavy,
the shedding
plus
of your uterine lining.
Yeah,
like just red,
bright red
liquid blood. And it even smells like blood, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't smell like period, it smells like copper. It's fucking weird. And
so do you think
now,
they sliced,
I do not,
you inside like by accident?
I think probably not. I think that if that happened, I probably would have gotten an infection. But this was just, apparently this happens. And unless you soak through a whole pad in an hour, you're fine.
Okay.
But it was touch and go for me. The thing is about the emergency room is like, do I really want to go to the emergency room and catch like the bubonic plague, or do I want to stay home and wait to see? So like, I did more research on post IUD insertion than ever, because I was like, I don't want to clog up the healthcare system with just another hypochondriac moment.
Sure.
So And while I do agree that you should go if you think you need to, I am the kind of person that waits. And I know it's not a good habit, but I learned it from my mom, and I just wait until I know I need to go. But I also agree
with
you.
We are a little, like, hyperactive with these things, and people do go, you know, with the little thing, you know, and I get that. I get that. But they also go because they do sometimes look up things online and see the worst case scenario.
Right. Sure. I could have reached out to the physician. I could have done a couple things that I didn't do, but instead I did a lot of research.
Awesome.
And it looks like I was okay. But basically there was a question of, was I perforated, you know, and that can happen very easily. Yeah. So
that's what I would have thought too. Yeah.
So all is well, as of like a day ago, my blood has just kind of mostly subsided. Once in a blue moon, I'll get a little bit. But it went from like bleeding all day. And then I went in the ocean on Sunday and I swear that shit healed me. I think having like salt water in my uterus.
Oh my God.
I know, I was blood bleeding too. So that is a valid concern. It wasn't just because sharks don't like uterus blood. They like blood. Right. So it's like, yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so that's basically what I've been through. So I lost 2 weeks of work. I don't know how I'm going to pay rent this coming month because I also lost one of my roommates. So like, it's just a lot at once. And then finally yesterday I was able to have sex for the first time comfortably and it was very nice.
Oh, nice.
So that's awesome. Good. So hopefully in the next 2 weeks I make up for the lack of work and I'm able to pay. It's not even 2 weeks. It's like 9 days from now. Fuck. I'm able to pay rent in my 9 days, by fucking my way to that rent check. But yeah, it's been tough, man. Like it's been a tough between the time off from the abortion, the time off for the IUD insertion, time off for family wedding. Like I have not worked a lot in the last few months. I'm fucking struggle bus over here. So yeah,
some occupational hazards. So when is when is the like discussion about like tube tying happen again? Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Are we still sitting in the area where like, or you still want to leave that window open?
No, it's not a matter of leaving the window. It's a matter of I don't want to go through surgeries if I don't like. The more I put my body to a blade, the more risk we create.
I get you.
I think it's just that also this, like these IUDs now last 8 years. Like that's a long time. Before they only lasted like 4 or something. So now they're like double the time. And for me by then I'll either be not fertile anymore. I'll be close enough. And then at that point, you know,
God is going to curse you with fertility until you're like 60. You're going to be like,
my family, bro, we are fertile as fuck. We sneeze and we get pregnant. And it's so funny because like, ain't nobody in my family want to be pregnant. Like, no, I'm all set. I'm good.
Yeah.
I literally took morning after pill after every time I had fucking unprotected sex around my ovulation period every month this year, except for 1 month. And that one fucking month I got pregnant and had to have an abortion. That's how fertile I am. And I'm 200 pounds. Bitch, morning after pill is not supposed to work after like 180 pounds or like 160 or some shit like that. It like the heavier you are, the like lesser of the efficacy. Jesus Christ, I can't talk. And my ass is 200 pounds and I've been 200 pounds all year. So what are we doing here? Why am I still the most fertile human on earth? I smell cum and I get pregnant. Anyways. Also, I think it's harder to be able to say like when I say breed me now, like when I say breed me and I am able to get pregnant, that's way hotter than if I say like breed me and I can't, you know. But no, I'm not shooting anything out of this pussy aside from like cum wads that have been left inside.
Oh my God. One of my partners and I were discussing like not taking prep anymore because like, you know, like we're not really fucking around with anybody else but each other.
Okay.
But isn't that
just circumstantial?
Well, of course. And the bigger problem here is there's so many like IV drug use needles all over Albuquerque that I actually said like prep was like pretty smart in case we accidentally stepped on one.
Seriously.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Y'all know what a
lot. No, I mean, it's like, kind of crazy, though, that you're like, I live in a place where I have a higher chance of getting HIV through stepping on a needle than through fucking a dude. No.
So yesterday, and I just like have to like explain this because like I've been struggling, like, you know, like super hippie lefty. I think most of the problems of like everything are like just abject poverty and increasing poverty, da 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 da. But it doesn't mean like it's not difficult to handle psychologically, mentally, whatever, like dealing with like poverty and homelessness and like open air drug use all the time. And so we've had this outside our window. We're only on the second floor, which I like because like I can take the stairs and like walk up two flights of the stairs. But like people may or may not know, a few weeks ago, a 14-year-old got murdered on our college campus because some college student Airbnb'd their dorm room for the summer and three people decided to use that and do LSD, cocaine, and a couple other things and drink. And an 18-year-old shot a 14-year-old and a 19-year-old because he like was out of his body or something and hallucinating. So the 14-year-old died, the 19-year-old ended up in the hospital. So, you know, this happens right before students are coming back to campus. So there's like a lot of drama around, you know, these things. And a few years ago, two basketball players killed, like one killed the other. Like there's been issues. And again, you know, this is what the world on fire looks like. But so we constantly have issues with people like hanging out under our window, doing drugs, talking to themselves, like, you know, and you know, you find out when you smell that weird plasticky smell come up through your window, which is either meth or fentanyl or a combination of the two, I have no idea. But there's a outlet like under our window on the first floor that I think the landscaping people use when they come, right? And they're big outlets, metal, and they are lockable, right? And yeah. I've been like, because this has been a reoccurring problem for years, because they just look for outlets to charge their phone while hanging out and doing drugs and talking to themselves. And again, all sad things, but this is a private residence and, you know, we are supposed to have security all the time. And the security, right. we watched them go by this person a few times and not see them because the private security that they hire, not the police officers that work for the university, because there's university police.
Right. It's like building security.
But we're at a satellite building for the university, right? So all the building police, they come through our parking lot periodically, but it's mostly these private security people who's like a 19-year-old with like no weapons, no abilities. He just takes the company phone and scans these little electrical things every half an hour to ensure that he did like a check, I guess, or something like that. But there's not one under our window, right? So I'm like calling people, trying to get people to like come, and I finally just go downstairs and tell the little security. And the guy's like, "I'm not gonna leave," right? So he's not leaving, and so the security guy has to call the UNM police, and so that person comes, or three of them come, and we're like, literally, they're under our window. He's like, "I'm not leaving." He tries to tell them he's a student. And like, we kind of yell out the window, like, "Well, if he's a student, he shouldn't be smoking meth outside our window. Like, he's got drugs on him. He's been screaming under our window. Like, we're trying to study up here," kind of thing. I'm trying to do biostats. Like, I don't even want to explain to our poor listeners what that looks like. If you don't know, it's a fucking mess of numbers and letters, okay? It's horrible. So of course, I'm like, they finally get him to leave, right? And so I go down immediately. Because I've been telling these people forever, lock that fucking electrical outlet and people won't congregate under our window because they do it at 3 a.m. 4 a.m.
Yeah. I'm like a big fan of like just live and let live, but when I'm smelling crack in my bedroom at 4 a.m, I think I'd probably be a little annoyed. It's not just that
he was like muttering, "I'm gonna kill this person." You know, I get it. It's right, either drug psychosis or actual psychosis. So I took a padlock that I had and went down and just locked it myself because it's been 3 years. I was like, I've got like 5 of these laying around. I don't even know what the combination is. This is a good time to use it. So it locks. And
the fact is you would get in more trouble getting caught doing that than he would getting caught doing crack.
Yeah, so
that's the fucking boring thing.
So it's about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and still doing biostats. Have the window open because, like, we had cooked pork chops the other night. Chuletas, and the whole place smelled like chuleta. So we're leaving the window open. It's 100 degrees here, so leaving the window open isn't a, like, thing you do usually, but, like, at nighttime, it cools down. Bam! We hear someone. We see and throw the guy from earlier, who the police, after, like, 45 minutes, finally got to leave, threw a rock at the window where he was sitting. And, of course, I think maybe he was trying for our window, but, like, heavy rock. Unfortunately, man under the influence, I don't think he, like, powered that shit too much. So the consulting agency that, like, houses itself underneath of us got their whole huge-ass window, like, smashed.
Oh, shit.
Now, this guy was a fucking moron, and this is how you're, like, I don't even want to say moron. He's clearly, like, cracked out, drug-addled, whatever. Like, he does this in front of an ROTC student who's standing right there, who also calls, like, we all call the police. The police that had asked him to leave earlier. Like, they're asking for that. I'm like, there were 3 police officers who talked to this man earlier. It's the same person. Tell him. So, voila. That's reality. So it's like, you know, I've said before, unfortunately, it feels like a lot of people out here are really passive and they either don't say anything because, like, yeah, I get that college students, like, have a lot more empathy, but it's not about empathy. It's really about, like, creating these, like, habits, right? Like, there can be 2 people under, like, the underpass. That's the only way for us to get to the grocery store smoking. And you don't say anything. But now there's 35 people, and I'm not exaggerating. And broken needles and glass pipes and the smell of this shit, if you've never smelled it, is like literally burning a plastic bottle in front of your nose and inhaling it. It is.
Yeah.
Horrible.
It's a rough really horrible smell for sure.
So, and I get it that it's like not about like whatever, but I've like in the last 2 weeks I've seen 2 people fucking in there, like full pants down, taking her from behind while she's hitting the pipe. I've seen 3 or 4 people taking dumps right outside our building. Like, I'm good. I get it. And I don't know, I'm not saying that, like, the National Guard is the solution, honestly. Housing,
Jesus, no.
Housing is the solution. But fuck, man, the world is on fire. So I'm saying this because, like, I've been, like, you know, in my therapy sessions really trying to, like, I was like, I really want to focus on feeling good. You know, the privilege of being able to even say that while, like, shit is on fire. But, like, you have to, man. Like, you can't stay tapped into, like, the world on fire and expect to have good mental health. And I'm not saying you put your head in the sand either, but there's got to be a balance. Like, the doom scrolling, like, there's no good news. I promise you.
Like, yeah.
Stay informed by as neutral of sources as you can. But, like, my brothers and sisters, especially on the left, you're, like, insane posts about, like, the sky is falling. It's not fucking productive. Give people instructions.
That's some liberal shit, you know,
on how they can support.
Liberals love to just, you know, say that there's a fire but not actually suggest a way to put it out. So
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
we just need to do a little bit more critical thinking out there. I always give myself aside from the news checkups I want to do if I want to. We don't have to. Ever feel like you have to be tuned in or tapped in if you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
If you don't have the capacity, if you've already done some work, that's you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But check your news sources if you feel like it, if you have the space. And then I always give myself a period of time. Now, once in a while, do I find myself on my phone scrolling randomly? Sure.
Mm.
I'll get distracted, like, because I work inside of my phone.
Right.
However, because I work inside of my phone, I actually have to be even more specific about what I give myself for time.
Yeah.
I have to be purposeful with my time. So what I do is I do not look at my phone first thing in the morning, aside from I double check there's no emergency texts or no missed calls. That's it. I do not read my texts first thing in the morning unless it looks like a pertinent conversation I need to be having. I just leave it on unread until I'm ready for it. And as far as scrolling, I give myself, I do not look at my phone until I have clothes on, like I'm showered, I have some food in my stomach, I've done at least like a task or two, and then I give myself like 15 minutes in the morning, and I'd say at most 30 minutes at night. And that's broken up, you know, it's like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, you know, what animals are doing cute things today. Oh, this animal account got a new puppy, whatever. And then I close it, because otherwise it's just, I even read a study the other day. It's like we're literally rotting our brains between the use of AI and the use of scrolling. Yeah. We are literally rotting our fucking brains from the inside. So, like, I'm not trying to say I'm better than you because I scroll less. I'm just saying maybe people could take the advice of giving yourself, like, an allotment of time. You know, go into your phone and see how long you're on your cell phone a day, if you don't work on it, let's say. And if that's like an hour, okay, that's pretty, not to me doesn't sound crazy. If we're talking like 4 or 5 hours, maybe you should give yourself like specific time, like allotments. That way you don't like end up down a super crazy rabbit hole and like learning about people that you don't need to know about and things that you'll never need to use again. Right. You know how much like special interest information we all have because we go down weird scrolling rabbit holes that we'll never fucking need again. Like learn something that will help you in the long run. Like maybe look up like how to communicate better, or you know, find a therapist. These are all things that we can do instead.
Oh my God, the guy that like sings to animals with the pink guitar, he finally sang to penguins the other day, or he posted his singing to penguins the other day.
That's so cute.
You know how I feel about
penguins.
Did you
love it?
I loved it. I loved it. And he also sang to a really old turtle, tortoise, whatever. I'm not sure again what the difference is, but and it came up and it was so slow, and then like it came, its neck expanded almost like he was giving him a kiss, and it was like, I should have known this is what was going to happen to me in my like elder years.
That you were going to get soft, finally.
Yeah.
You're going to finally get soft.
Finally get soft.
Adorable.
Look, I try to digest, like, again, I recommend like a quick non-editorial. I get the 1440 news daily in my email. It gives headlines with no editorializing. It just tells you what has happened, and that's it. It's the editorializing, like,
literal
that causes
fucking news.
Right. It's like, and no, not the New York Times. The New York Times is a massive editorializer.
Yes.
They offer a morning thing too, and I've like hit unsubscribe like 7 times. And just, unsubscribe is a fucking lie, right? Just somebody verify for me that is not real.
It's not. I don't think I've ever unsubscribed from anything and actually unsubscribed.
Like, no matter how many times I unsubscribe, I still have Gavin fucking Newsom sending me fucking angsty fucking emails. I get it. You hate Trump. Okay. We all do. I don't need it in my fucking inbox every morning. Can we just go back to being addicted to porn again, please?
Yeah, for
make
real.
America addicted to porn again.
Speaking of porn, Mom Donnie is absolutely taking it this November. He is so hot. And I am so, like, he has been fighting fire with fire. I don't know if you've seen some of his, like, more recent posts where he's, like, he's basically just, like, calling out Cuomo's, like, sex pestery and
I saw
like
that.
Wait, really
Cuomo doesn't
funny
know,
ways, and I'm like,
Cuomo doesn't. We all know that Cuomo doesn't know how to take no for an answer. I think that's what it was. Yeah, I saw that
one,
the People's Tramp
like,
had liked that, and I was like, giggle, giggle, giggle.
Yeah, no, like I am just it's a fucking beautiful thing. So that is the only thing political I would like to talk about this week is just. I am so in love with this man, and I am so ready to have a city underneath this man. Like,
have you ever?
Yes, please give it to me.
Have you ever seen his mom's movie Mississippi Masala?
No, I have not.
I saw it in the movie theater, like, because it came out a long time ago, and It's very good. You know, I mean,
is
like,
it? Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, like, please.
You've watched all his like music videos by now, right? Too.
Oh, of course.
It's so hilarious.
I, like, that was actually, you know what's funny is right before I voted for him, that was like the last thing I did. I did not even check into like the funnier side of his lore until like right before I was like, well, give me some more. I need some more of him. And then I did, and I was like, oh wow, he really like does it all. And he, you could tell, is just, I don't know. I'm just so excited.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. And, you know, I don't want to say anything to jinx it. Like,
I know.
It's, you know, there is a long history of, like, municipal socialism that has been way more effective than anything else. And, you know, I've been saying it for years. Like, if we want to change the world, we do have to, like, be, like, build this stuff out locally to build it out, like, nationally. I mean, it's the whole problem with, like, these national agendas that are usually occurring, because you have to see something working. And then you, like, create another satellite that duplicates that working, and then so on and so forth. And, like, then once you do that, you don't need to create a national momentum. It's there already, you know?
Right.
And I think it's going to be, you know, and of course, like, I follow a lot of, like, further to the left stuff that are, you know, already critiquing him being on the cover of Time magazine and all this, like, nonsense. And, like,
yeah,
you know, there's a... like a hardcore anger of these terrible mouth breathing, like anime jerking off to leftists that like are always, nobody's ever going to be left enough for them unless you bring back Red Rosa, you know? And like, this is not, this is not the era we live in, right? You know, and everybody being afraid, oh, this is going to, he's going to turn into another AOC. And I will tell you this, honestly, he's a Democratic socialist. He is another AOC. He is another Bernie. However, why is that a problem compared to a Democrat? Like, we need anything that squishes the conversation.
I don't. I don't understand. I do not understand that. To me, if you are anywhere near socialism, anywhere near Marxism, socialism, like, you understand the impact that this is going to have, and also what it means as far as a voting culture in general. And the fact is that all of the people voting for him, not all, but a lot of the people voting for this man, are also having conversations back home with their families in Indiana and their families in Ohio and their families in Mississippi. And this is creating a dialogue that I think is more important than people are seeing. And people just want to stand on their soapbox and shout into the fucking ether, and they actually get nothing done. Yeah. If you don't want anything to go forward, then you can talk about how there's no point. Okay, maybe there is no point according to, you know, the general healthscape of life. Sure, nothing has a point at that point. You're a nihilist. Don't vote. You know, if that's how you feel, then why are you even in the conversation if nothing is good enough? The point is that this is so much better than anything we fucking had. You know what I mean? Like, how dare you think that this is not a move in the right direction? It's silly. And just silly.
The misinformation is going to be out there all over the place. But let's keep in mind, and just like clarity of definitions, because it's going to keeping up. Socialism is not an economic system. Capitalism is. So socialism is not a threat explicitly to capitalism. It's a threat to how we live in an individualistic society that doesn't care about people as a whole over like individuals. But it's not, this is not one of these things that you're like, oh my God, the socialists are going to take away my ability to make money. No. They're going to put you in a position where it says it's not okay that you don't have health care. It's not okay that in the richest country on earth, you don't have a roof over your head, or you're worried about constantly losing the roof over your head, or food, or any of these things, or like a fucking education. I mean, look, with everything that they're doing, they're leaving people in a position of, it's going to go back to elite people can only be the ones that grab an education, you know? And let's not believe in the delusion that we don't all deserve these things. And I think that that's a hard thing. You don't deserve something because you're born into it. You deserve it because you're a human being and there's enough resources to go around. There's no scarcity economy. So, you know, that's that. And that being said, socialists
well,
fuck.
And also, socialists if you
better.
Like to...
Socialists fuck better, don't they?
They do. But also, it just the fact, you know, if you want to not walk over, you know, people strung out on the streets and you don't want to have that crisis on your hands, leading socialist is going to get us there, yeah. Right? Like you just said, it gives everybody the opportunity to have a fair standing. And if you decide to chase the money, you can still have that. You can do that. Mm-hmm. But if you decide to just, or not decide to, but if you are able to live, like, why would you want people to not live comfortably just because you want to live more comfortably? Like, I don't understand that to me. Like, it doesn't, somebody outside doesn't, like, on the street begging for money or versus inside the house, in my opinion, it affects you better for them to be in a house, would it not? Do you want to? I don't know. Like, it's just
because the only alternative...
your taxes are being used to fucking murder people in mass droves. Fuck off with me, gang.
Right.
Shut the fuck up. You don't know what your taxes are.
And
being
your
used
taxes
for,
are
going
to just be used to incarcerate them. And
exactly.
Once
like,
we,
that's the solution.
Once we start making poverty illegal, it doesn't stop. If you think incarcerating the homeless and the impoverished is going to stop you from seeing the impoverished and homeless, it is not. You're just going to keep seeing more cops. That's it. There's never going to be an end to it. If you're not resolving inequality, economic inequality, you're never going to stop homelessness and poverty. Like... Right. These things, we can play this game, but every time I look at the numbers, this is what your support the troops thing looks like. The majority of the people on the street are veterans.
Right, exactly.
So if you want homeless incarcerated, you don't fucking support the troops. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Well, and we all know that everybody listening and everybody here is way closer to the street than you are to
being a billionaire,
you know, or even a millionaire. Right. Fuck a billionaire. Like, you're closer to the street than being
class.
A millionaire. Eat shit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even middle class for that matter. Like, let's be for fucking real here. So
shit.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like,
and the middle class these days is closer to being on the street than they are to being a millionaire. So there's some fucking food
exactly.
for thought for you.
Exactly. Oftentimes when I hear people's stories of people who are, you know, on the street that aren't a veteran or that are a lot of times the stories are, I was a hedge fund, blah, blah, blah. I worked on Wall Street. I was a CEO. La, la, la. It went under. I had no money saved and I am now on the street. It's right. like, okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But who were you, whose boots were you licking before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And like, look,
because we all want to rub elbows with the people we would like to be, but the fact is that we are nowhere near that, and it's just not in the cards for us.
And so
stop sucking the dicks of the people that you think are,
and
I'm
you. Not
gonna
lie.
Not you.
I'm a selfish prick. My real motivation for wanting to end poverty is people are not horny when they're fucking struggling to pay their fucking bills. No offense. Like, what I see now is a bunch of people that don't want to meet in person because they don't want to deal with, like, all the social niceties. Like, people want to snap jerk or what? I don't even know what half this shit is.
I mean, it's true. Like, let's just put it into a perspective of me.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about anecdotally instead of making, like, swath comment, you know.
Blanket statements.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, blanket statements. Look at me. My job is to literally be horny.
Right.
I do not make money if I am not horny, but I also do not get horny when I haven't made money.
Right.
So I'm in a cycle of fuck. I am in crisis mode. I need to make money right now, for example.
Yeah.
But like last night I went live and I had a sex show and I did a sex show live and even though I needed, I was all ready, I was showered, I was shaved, I was ready, blah, blah, blah. Even though I absolutely needed that fucking money, because I hadn't made money this week, I honestly wanted nobody to show up and I wanted to be able to log off. Mm. Like, that's how. Now, I got into it once people start showing up and tips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Of course, I got into it, but it was so hard for me to dig deep and feel horny because I have been broke all week. Yeah. I have not been able to feed myself in a proper way. I have not been able to pay my bills in a timely manner. That makes my fucking pussy drier than the Sahara Desert.
No doubt.
Even just in terms of me, that's my job to be horny, and I can't get myself horny to complete my job because I haven't made any money. Making no money makes me it's just a cycle and it fucking sucks. So I think it's safe to say that, like, who feels horny when they're struggling or there's something on their mind that's like plaguing them?
100%. I mean, like, when I get stressed out, I get like stressed horny, but like, you know, I have a partner that's the same, so it tends to work for us. But like but in general, like, it is hard, you know. Even like, I think in listening to like our podcast, like, we're not like overly talking about sex because like that would be almost insensitive to the fucking world we're in. And like,
I know, right?
I see these podcasts and it's like, you know, you have two middle class gay daddies talking about like polyamory, and like, you can see how protected they are from, like, no offense, you guys do a great podcast if you think this is you. I have a feeling you listen to us because you like our shit, but it's not about that. I'm just using it as a comparative. Like, you can tell when people aren't suffering by the topics that they are, you know,
of course,
being casually discussed.
I wasn't fucking for 3 years and I didn't talk about it here for 3 years. Yeah. You know, it was like I sounded like a fucking unhappy bitch. But
I lost a friend for like putting this out a few years ago about, you know, like wine being more important than the fucking world being on fire. Like, you know, you can tell where people like priorities lie by like what kind of things are like bothering their minds, you know. And it's tough, you know, this fucking ugly fucking asshole who's trying to like overturn queer marriage and all these other things. Like, I haven't been affected by the news for a hot minute until like that came on, and you know, you got Anderson Cooper, like, you know, and just like all these apologists who are like, you know, oh my God, like Hillary Clinton's telling everybody to go fucking get married. Oh, smart, right? Like, we need more examples of people getting married that like maybe don't want to or shouldn't to yet, so we can what, up the divorce rate? By the way, I heard lesbians have the highest divorce
rate. Highest divorce rate. Can I speculate and not get canceled?
Yes, please.
Ding, ding, ding. This is a moment where I might get canceled. Please don't. I have a feeling, and I don't know the numbers, and I probably should, and maybe I should shut up. No, fuck it. I have a feeling that there is a correlation between how quickly the relationships form and the marriage begins and the divorce rate. Because I feel like there is a stereotype involving a certain company box truck and lesbians that might possibly be rooted in truth. I'm just saying, I've been in lesbian relationships before and I know how quickly we move. So
maybe become a pods lesbian instead of a U-Haul lesbian. That way you can store your shit for a little bit
there
longer.
There you go.
Leave it in the driveway until you're sure you're ready.
Pods lesbian. I do like that, actually. Leave it in the driveway until, move it in when you're ready.
Dude, people might be leaving those pods out there forever.
This might be bullshit, but there's also a high amount of domestic abuse in lesbian relationships too. So I don't know. I do think that it is possible to say that maybe the quickness at which the relationship begins could be an issue. I don't know. I'm not, who am I to say? I've never had a relationship with a woman last longer than 2 years. So, like, I don't really know. Like, I don't have a lot of anecdotal evidence to kind of speak on behalf of. But based on, like, my friends and whatnot, I would just say maybe that's the reason.
So can I just validate you again with, so we watched the latest Jim Jefferies special. Is that his name? The comedian? Jim Jefferies.
Oh, I hate him. Oh, no. Yeah.
Girl, you would, I mean, look, we saw, him in Vegas.
Just easy. Don't you think they're just easy sometimes?
I think they're.
I'm like, my drunk uncle said that 2 weeks ago.
No, sure. And honestly, when he used to drink on stage and smoke cigarettes, like, there was a lot of context. But he's been married for a few years, and he gave, like, his latest thing was so fucking MGTOW-y. He's like, I wish I was gay. And, like, he goes into this whole tension. He's like, those gay boys, you know, like, and but he makes a lot of, like, inadvertently liberal, like, points, right? Because he's like,
I know he's not like a super. Yeah, no, I just think his jokes are lazy sometimes. That's all.
I'll agree. And he does go for like the shock value, but like he was like, if we weren't like attracted to pussy, we would not be with women. And like, you know, it's really funny. It's one of his funnier and like surprisingly like tamer, and like some of his stuff, I mean, he makes fun of everybody. Like, I mean, he goes into this whole thing about,
well, all the good comedians do, like, obviously.
His main causes are like disability causes when he does philanthropy, right? So he's like a big disability, like that's his thing, right?
That's great.
But
yeah,
he has this now whole joke around it about, he's like, I've always say at my shows, and I tell the staff of the venue, like, you know, anybody that is disabled should like come and meet me. I will take a picture of them. I will give them my autograph. Like, that's like his priority. But he's like, over the years, like, he has this whole joke about, like, so, because the whole episode, I think, is called like Two Limbs. He's like, you have to have two limbs that are fucked up in some way for me to meet you now. And he talks about all the exceptions.
Like, oh. Because
he's like, he's like, you'll get these people. Like, what should, I'm autistic. And like, you, there's nothing wrong with this person. So he's like, but if you're autistic and have a lazy eye, I will count that as two limbs. It's just clever. And I mean, in this world of like scary times and post counterculture, like, it was refreshing to hear it. So if y'all are looking for like a little bit of laugh about like the intensity, like, he's not one of those anti-cancel culture people. He's just, you know, he's putting, there is a like quite a fucking tangent about like, how dare asexuals think they can be included in the same category as gay men? When
okay, so I feel like that's been done. That is definitely low hanging fruit joke.
Okay, that might be for,
because like, I just feel like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I feel like I've heard that by like 1,000 gay people too.
Yeah,
like, he took a joke out of like a gay person's mouth.
I mean, he basically said, he's like, if you should be included in anybody's alphabet, you should be included in the H+ heterosexual plus alphabet, because we most relate to, you're as close to what we experience as possible.
Oh, like married people?
Yeah. You know what? He's funny because he married like a South Asian woman, right? And he's like, if you see my wife, you know, you go up to her and say you're a homophobic racist. Like, you have to see it. It is actually one of the more clever things. Anyways.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Give it a try. Okay, so now I have to go bare my soul. What should I talk about in therapy today?
How much you love me.
Well, I've already discussed what a hoe you are, but you know.
That's fun. Why don't you discuss some things that you want to work on in the future, but you're not necessarily like, let's start it today.
So I really want to get fisted at some point. Should I work on like...
Is it a sex therapist?
Well, I mean, not explicitly, but like, you know, my biggest concerns about like working with like getting fisted is like I don't want my ass to be blown out for the rest of my life, you know, which I hear is really just about like how often you get fisted, because like I don't want to have to, I don't have to wear diapers early. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like this is something for like your general practitioner, not or.
But I don't have my old pizza doctor anymore, who looks like a fisting top. Okay, you know. So.
I'll ask him next time I see him.
Okay, thank you.
Questions from, I almost said Colorado. That's not where you live.
Hey, and also, I also want to know that if I get my perineum pierced, do you think it like? Is that like pleasurable when you're getting like? When
Why don't you just go on Reddit for these questions?
Oh, because I don't trust
like Google.
I don't trust normies who fucking post this shit on Reddit to give me a fucking good answer. No offense, but no. I feel like it's, you know, the local pastor is like writing shit on there to get like.
Well, not the local pastor. I just feel like everybody's on Reddit. I don't know. I usually just. I refer to it. I don't write anything.
Never
on there,
used
you know?
It in my entire life. Anyways, all right. Well, I'm gonna go to not talk about fisting.
Yeah, go talk to your therapist about your mommy issues. I love you.
Yeah.
If you haven't unloaded on her that yet, you should probably be like, well, part one. Sometimes I'll just be like, hey, while I'm in a good headspace, therapist, I actually want to tell you about like my XYZ. Family member that traumatized me, you know, and I'll just like tell her I'll be like, I don't necessarily want to work on that right now, but I'm going to talk to you about it so that you can keep it in mind when I am having like mental breakdowns. Maybe you can like correlate the two thing. I don't know.
Oh my God. I love that. Okay. I'll do that. All right, boo. I will talk to you later.
I love you.
Love you. Bye. Bye.